children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening, and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, saving kids of all ages, all stages. MASC is a referral organization. We offer parent support. We have groups for parents. We do in-school, in-camp trainings. Please, maybe you know somebody that needs a referral that for all mental health issues or and addictions. Please give them our confidential number. It is 718-758-0400. Maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a friend, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you sit next to in shul. Our confidential helpline is available 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, all day Friday until 2 hours before Shabbat, Saturday night till 11, and all day Sunday, 10 to 10. So, again, our number is 718-758-0400. And tonight, I have with us, from the CenterOnAddiction.org, a great website to visit for all addiction issues, we have with us a licensed professional counselor, Pat Awesome. How are you?
I'm great, Rukama, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I am just so impressed with the work MASC does for the community, and you offer such an incredible array of resources. It's really terrific.
Thank you, thank you. And Pat is, she's the director of clinical content and development, responsible for providing tools and resources to support families who have a loved one struggling with all different addictions. She's also worked in psychiatric hospital and domestic violence program. I mean, Pat is awesome. She knows everything about everything on the addiction topic. So I'm very, very happy to have you with us tonight so that we can talk about something that parents call our helpline literally every single day. We have hundreds and hundreds of parents that have been struggling over the last couple months with the issue of vaping. What is vaping, Kat? Can you tell my listeners, please?
Sure. So vaping is technically described as the act of inhaling and exhaling an aerosol using a vape device. So many people who see those big clouds on the street think that what's coming out of them is water vapor, but it's actually an aerosol. So if you think more like hairspray, you'll be in the right arena. And because of the rise in popularity of Juul, and that's spelled J-U-U-L, it sounds like Juul, the, you know, a diamond or something, but it's a little bit different, and it's a specific type of vaping device that is incredibly popular with young people. So instead of using the term vaping, you will often hear them using the term Juuling.
And it's very, very popular out there in all of the bodegas and in 7-Eleven, wherever you go, they're right by the counter, they have them there. And it's really something that young people are really getting addicted to. Can you describe for my listeners what these devices look like, please?
So some of the devices look like regular cigarettes. In fact, in the very beginning of this trend, they were called Cigalikes. Others look like cigars or pipes, and some resemble, like the Juul, would resemble a flash drive that you would use on your computer. There are also larger devices known as mods that look more like a small cell phone. And some of them are for one-time use, and some can be reused by charging the device and replacing the liquids that are in them. But there are even companies making clothing items like hoodies that can be used to vape discreetly using the drawstring around the hood as a mouthpiece.
Yeah, and it's pretty frightening because parents are really not educated about this. So we walk around and we don't know what, you know, the kid wants to wear the same sweatshirt, a hoodie, and they don't even know that there's a reason. But, you know, really, Pat, we cannot just candy coat this. E-cigarettes come in so many sweet flavors, but what they're masking is anything but. I mean, let's talk about how highly addictive they are.
So the concern about e-cigarette smoking, actually there are a variety of concerns, but part of it is that the vape devices and the e-liquids in them can emit toxic substances in addition to nicotine exposure. And, of course, you know, we spent years and, well, decades really trying to get people to stop smoking nicotine-based products. And we know that kids who use e-cigarettes are almost four times more likely to try smoking traditional cigarettes. And then there's a concern with vaping that it can increase exacerbate asthma problems. And you've probably seen in the news and other news that some of the vape devices, especially those with poor quality batteries or that have been stored improperly, can explode, resulting in burns and other injuries. So there are lots of reasons to be concerned about vaping.
You know, I'm just wondering, Pat, with all the education about how deadly tobacco is and adults are using it, they're trying to give up smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody use an e-cigarette more often, you know, like an adult? Why would they go to e-cigarettes if there are risks involved with those as well?
So for an adult smoker who is already smoking conventional cigarettes, it probably is a safer alternative. But it's not safe for people who haven't started smoking at all, namely our teens and other young adults. They've embraced it for so many reasons. You know, first, there's a lot of curiosity. It's not uncommon for kids to try out each other's vapes at parties to check out the flavors. And you referred to the flavors a little bit earlier, but, you know, German chocolate cake or banana split or Skittles can be pretty enticing. And then they post their vaping videos on social media. And speaking of social media, there's a great deal of advertising that makes vaping in general look very appealing and cool. And then there's the issue of blowing smoke rings. I don't know if you remember back in the day, people used to blow smoke rings with their conventional cigarettes. That was pretty popular. Well, kids have come up with all kinds of cloud tricks, and there are even competitions that pay prize money for the best tricks. So it becomes something that is intriguing, and then you find that it's habit-forming, much in the same way that teens check their phones in free moments. It's just so easy to take a quick puff and not be noticed.
Absolutely. And teens sometimes do it just to be cool or rebellious, or like you said, just out of curiosity. They see adults using it. And, I mean, you go on a bus, you go on a train, you go on a plane, everybody's busy holding something up to their mouth these days, wherever you go. And in one hand is the Juul or whatever other product, and in the other hand is their phones. And it's really frightening to stand waiting on a corner, and we don't even see what's going on around us anymore. People are very into, social media, and like you said, there are campaigns out there on the social media that makes it look cool. So that would definitely make a child, elementary age, high school age, young adults, teenagers, to become curious and try it out for themselves. I'm wondering, there are a few slang words that they use. You know, like there's also the e-hookahs. Can you talk about that as well, please?
So there are tons of slang words, as you just mentioned. So you might see Addy for an atomizer or cart for a cartridge. Those are analog, meaning someone's using a conventional cigarette instead of just a instead of a vape device. So there's all kinds of PV is another one for personal vaporizer. So it can be helpful sometimes to look at people's text messaging or social media and those sorts of things to understand whether someone is actually vaping or not, because you'll see more of that slang referred to in those types of messaging.
So what about those that think that e-cigarettes could help them quit smoking regular conventional cigarettes? I mean...
So I think, yeah... And, you know, for some people, that probably is true, but more of what we're finding is that they become dual users. So it's, I don't know if you recall when smoking was prevalent in buildings and restaurants and so forth, and then with the concern about the health risks of smoking traditional cigarettes, smoking eventually became banned in so many places and only available in, you know, spots outside a building, as an example. And so if you think about vaping, however, you could smoke a cigarette outside in the morning before you go into work, and then you can get into your office building and go into the bathroom and vape, and, you know, chances are no one would know. So it gives people the opportunity to engage in vaping, you know, nicotine more often than it might otherwise. So, as I said, for many people, it's really problematic in that they become dual users. I know the Juul advertising campaign of late is basically, have you made the switch yet? And they're trying to get people who have been smoking conventional cigarettes to vaping, which in the long run would actually be healthier for most people. It's just a little bit safer, but it doesn't mean it's completely safe. And so, you know, but as I said, more often than not, what we're finding is that people end up being dual users.
Pat, I'm wondering, are there some side effects for those that are using the Juul? Let's not just focus on Juul. This is not an anti-Juul or yes Juul or any other. It's just, you know, those that are vaping, there are many different kinds, like you said. But I know there are some side effects from it to some as well.
So certainly there are toxins in the vape liquids, the vapey liquids that are of concern. Some of them are like acetone, which you'd find in nail polish, benzene, which you find in car exhaust, and other types of toxins, and fine metal particles, which you certainly wouldn't want in the lungs. The concern about the flavored liquids themselves is that those liquids are flavored using flavorings that are actually FDA approved for food products, but the stomach acids that you have to digest food flavorings is very different. The tissues in your stomach area are very different than the tissues you would have in your lungs. So there's a concern about that. There also was a study fairly recently that showed that flavorings like cherry flavorings, when it's mixed with the other ingredients in an e-liquid bottle, actually becomes a different substance altogether. And so the concern is that what might be labeled and actually in the bottle when it's combined becomes yet a third substance that can be an irritant to the lungs. So there's that issue. And then nicotine, of course, can be problematic for many people. As you know, with cigarette smoking, there are a number of people that just became dependent on cigarettes. And the concern is that the same thing will hold true of vaping. And nicotine over the long run raises the heart rate and can cause other problems with the cardiovascular system. So, you know, not a great thing there either. And then, as I mentioned, some of the vape devices are just poorly made, so there are issues with respect to the vape devices exploding, causing injury. And then last but not least is the concern that the e-liquids themselves, if they're accidentally, if someone actually drinks an e-liquid or there's exposure to the skin, can cause a very toxic reaction, including vomiting and other injuries. And that's particularly a concern because the bottles, they're tiny bottles. They kind of look like eyedrop bottles. And sometimes with the candy, you know, pictures on the front, it looks enticing, especially to young children who think that it's something that they can drink. And there have been problems with respect to that as well.
So, I mean, so many long-term effects, short-term effects. There's nothing, you know, that's great about smoking or vaping. We all know that. Surgeon General has, you know, the notice on the cigarettes. But when you see stores popping up all over the neighborhood selling these flavored vaping materials, it makes it very enticing for young adults, especially elementary teenagers, walking around, seeing them pop up all over. Just near my office, we have three, so in a vicinity of four blocks. So teenagers are curious, and they do check it out. Friends are using it. Parents are using it. Teachers are using it. It's a problem. But let's now get down to my listeners that throw their hands up and say, now what? What do I tell my kid? How can I make my teenager listen? Teenagers don't always listen to parents. So what can parents do if they know their child is vaping?
Sure, that's such a great question because it's been problematic for parents, for schools, for community organizations, so it's rampant. I think the first thing that's very helpful is for parents to be equipped with facts about vaping. So just by listening to this radio show this evening, parents will be better prepared to address questions that their sons or daughters might have. So and while it's important to be equipped with the facts so that you have a basic understanding, telling a teen that vaping is harmful is likely going to go in one ear and out the other. So don't be surprised that facts don't win the argument, so to speak. It's important, though, to have conversations about vaping, so looking for opportunities to discuss it with a child and using open-ended questions about, you know, like what do you think about vaping or how do you think vaping over the long term might impact you. I think it's also really important for parents to set clear expectations so that a child knows that vaping is not allowed in our household. And if parents choose to set consequences, to be sure to follow through on them while reinforcing healthier choices. So sometimes parents will say, you know, if I find a vape device in your room again, I'm going to take your cell phone away for X period of time.
But why is that okay, Pat? I'm going to interrupt you. Why is that okay? We don't want to push the kids out of the home. We also don't want to. There's two trains of thought. There's one that says, thank God he's home or she's home and not on the streets doing worse. There's another that says, I don't want it in my home. So we have listeners of both sides. So we don't make decisions for any family. We just want to offer them the reality, the facts, and then they need to feel what works for their family and then have that conversation. So I want to keep it more neutral to facts so that every family chooses what's good for them.
Absolutely, and if I miscommunicated the setting expectations, it's whatever that particular family wants to set as their rules and expectations for their household. So I wasn't trying to suggest that there was a one-size-fits-all right. expectations.
That's, I just wanted my listeners to hear that.
Sure.
There is no one
sure.
size fits all. Correct.
And then I think two things. So there may be maybe younger teens where it's helpful to teach them resistance skills. So if they're in a social situation where they're offered an opportunity to try a vape, you might ask, you know, what would you say if someone offered you their vape? And then have them practice what they would say using their own words. Sometimes they'll feel more comfortable over the long run and better prepared if they're using their own verbiage. And then if parents know their child is vaping, there are a couple things. One is most kids can stop if they haven't established a habit of vaping. They can stop without intervention from professionals. In other cases where it has become habitual, they may benefit from medications prescribed by a pediatrician. But again, the kinds of nicotine replacement therapies that are out there are typically recommended for people over the age of 18. If it's under the age of 18, they would have to be prescribed by a pediatrician. And there are also quit lines that every state has. So it's just calling 800-QUIT-NOW, and they have counselors who are trained specifically to help people stop smoking and vaping, although I suspect MASC would be able to provide that kind of support and referral resource as well.
Right, absolutely. So we have a few minutes. Can we play it out? Can we, you know, Mom, hi, why do you always get angry when you see me vaping? Pat, what would you respond? Let's try and role play.
So I would, see, I'm just trying to think of how I would best respond in that situation, which is really to understand, you know, why is vaping important to you? What does it do for you?
All my friends vape. Mom, all my friends vape. They all vape.
So it's important for you to feel socially connected with your friends and to fit in with what they're doing.
Yeah, it's cool. My teacher vapes. It just makes me feel good. I feel cool.
So I'm wondering, you know, my concern, right, is are the health risks associated with vaping, and I know that's probably hard to see at your age, but I'm wondering what other things you could do that might make you feel cool as well. What other things do you do that make you feel cool?
I'm great at basketball. I have a lot of friends. But, I mean, we get together on the boardwalk. They're drinking. They're vaping. I mean, I don't want to feel left out. And it's cool and it feels good.
I can imagine that it does feel cool and it you know, can feel good. But nevertheless, you know, my expectation is that you don't. And so I'd like to work with you on ways that you can feel cool or can feel like you fit in with your friends that aren't related to drinking and vaping.
So parents listening tonight to this, is something that I gained from your response. You didn't so much focus on the, oh, it's dangerous, oh, it's lung disease, oh, it's toxic chemicals, oh, the, you know, carcinogens, whatever. You didn't do that. You talked more about what does it do for you. And that's an important thing as parents that we need to think about when we're faced with finding out our kids are doing things that are not to our liking for their benefit and health. So, yep. Thank you. That was very good. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
Caught you off guard there a little bit, but that's
just
a live radio.
Okay.
But very helpful. So what's the message that you would like to leave off with to our listeners tonight? Please, you know,
so,
something
so
that they can leave listening to.
So two things. One is that regardless of the fact that of how vaping is for adults, we really don't want kids to start this habit. We know that from what we've learned through the Surgeon General's report just on conventional cigarettes, we just don't want to have another generation of kids lost to nicotine exposure and vaping. So I'd encourage parents to talk about it, to intervene as often as necessary. And the second thing is just to thank you so much for having me on the show. I so appreciate the opportunity to share the information on vaping. It's been a pleasure.
It's been really a pleasure, and I really put you on the spot. So thank you, thank you. But I know parents, when they listen to our show, they want to have a little bit of direction. Where do we go now? All right, we know the facts. So I hope it was helpful for the listeners tonight. And Pat Awesome from CenterOnAddiction.org, I want to thank you for being on with us tonight. I hope to have you on again. And I want everyone to be able to jot down CenterOnAddiction.org, where you can look up on many different topics. Real helpful website. And anybody that does have an important question about this topic, please call MASC, even to get Pam on the phone. We will try and reach out to her if there's something that you may be stuck on and need some guidance with. She does have her own practice in the New Jersey area. Anybody that wants to reach Pat for private sessions, feel free to give us a call. Family support, recovery meetings, educating parents. She's on the Board of Community in Crisis, a local nonprofit in Jersey. So anyone interested, feel free. Call MASC 718-758-0400. Pat, thanks for being on tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And I would just like to wish everybody a wonderful evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. And let's add for tonight, have the conversation with your loved one on vaping. Thank you, and have a good night.
It's fresh, it's delicious, it's flavorful. It's Holy Schnitzel, which has revolutionized kosher fast food with their second-to-none service. Join us at our grand opening celebration at 654 Amsterdam Avenue on the Upper West Side. Healthy, hearty, made fresh daily, and 100% kosher. Our menu can satisfy the tastes of the entire family. We have a wide variety of burgers, salads, sandwiches, paninis, falafels, wraps, and more. Our popular popcorn chicken and chicken fingers are local favorites for catering and events. Additionally, our barbecue pulled brisket sliders as a starter are always a fan favorite, along with our delectable burgers, too. We're not just a dine-in or takeout. We have catering options for large and small events, including corporate events, bar and bat mitzvahs, and we have a special menu for Shabbat orders. You also have the option to pre-order some of your favorite dishes 24 hours in advance. Check out Holy Schnitzel's lunch special, served Monday to Thursday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., that includes a main, a side dish, and a can of soda for a great price. Holy Schnitzel at 7222 Main Street in Queens, 819 Avenue U in Brooklyn, 438 Nome Avenue in Staten Island, 688 Central Avenue in Cedarhurst, and our new West Side location at 654 Amsterdam Avenue. If you're interested in franchising a strong kosher hospitality business, Holy Schnitzel might just be the best opportunity. You'll be able to tap into a profitable, fast-growing brand on the ground floor. We're poised for exceptional growth, so why don't you come and be a part of it? Mention this ad to receive 5% off on your next order today. Order now online at holyschnitzel.com. Again, that's holyschnitzel.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.
TCN, Talkline Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.